Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
And welcome back to the Wolverine Live. I'm John Borton here with Tom Crawford. As always on Tuesday evening, we're glad that you're tuning in with us. And Tom, enjoy the summer months while you can, because football is never far away.
No, it's never far away. And when you have this much anticipation of a terrific year for the Michigan Wolverines, potential third Big Ten championship in a row, and CFP berth, and maybe get it all the marbles, win a natty. Yeah, everybody's talking about Michigan football, and we're almost to Memorial Day, and that I'm not wishing the summer away, but that leads to June, and then July is Big Ten media days, and we're off to the races after that.
One interesting thing about this time of year is that, I mean, used to be after spring ball, if we weren't talking to guys specifically for our football preview, I mean, it was pretty slim pickings. You wouldn't see guys much other than Jim Harbaugh comes along and starts these camps, summer camps and different things, and you could catch guys there once in a while. And now they're with NIL, they're showing up at different events and doing things. And so it's kind of interesting. You get little tidbits here and there, and we want to talk about a few of those tonight. Starting with Kirk Campbell. We have talked about him already, the new quarterback's coach full-time. He was around last season, but it just seems like every single quarterback that you talk to on this squad is just blown away with what he has been able to do in a very short time. I want to give you a couple of quotes from one Alex Orji, one of the younger guys that is on this quarterback's roster. You may see it. We saw him last year. He can run with the football. He can throw it a little bit. But what Alex said was that everybody in the entire quarterback room made a huge jump in this offseason. Talks about the details that he brings to it. Just everything about him, the excitement. You've heard a lot of guys talk about the excitement that he brings and the detail he brings. And this is Orji's quote: holding us to the highest standard possible, giving us numbers, making sure we're hitting our completion percentage, getting our touchdowns. And he's really making sure that everyone from the top of the room to the bottom knows exactly what we're doing on every single snap. It's different. Yeah, you can tell when some guys are saying all the right things about a new coach, but there's an enthusiasm over this switch that I think these guys are really sold on Kirk Campbell. They knew him from last year when he had a big hand in what Michigan was doing on offense. Joe Fan in the stands didn't necessarily know that, but now he takes the reins and these guys are pretty pumped about it.
Yeah, for Kirk Campbell, the analyst role at Michigan, and this happens at a lot of big-time programs, is a great access point to get a position group opportunity, and he did with the Matt Weiss departure. And I don't know who did Clayton write that article or Anthony. I read it.
That was Clayton Safey,
yeah,
one Clayton, and only.
Terrific job on that. I read that piece, and it really – it brought home a little bit stuff for me, you know, about kind of the attention to detail in practice that Alex Orji was talking about. And my son, I think I mentioned before, Cody's up at Central Michigan. He was a guest of Albert Karshnia, the recruiting operations coordinator. Albert worked with Cody at Central Michigan, was on the staff, now down after the 21 season, came back down to Michigan. He's a Michigan guy. He was in that program before. And so Cody got to witness a spring practice. And the biggest takeaway he he got was the attention to detail during the practice, right? And this is what this is what was referenced in the article about your that Alex said. It's not like JJ was saying we just don't go back and look in the post practice meeting. We break it down there at the Glickbelly in the practice. It's almost like a lab, you know, where you have the big screens and you evaluate what you just did per play and move on. It made for a long practice, but a productive practice. And this is the level of sophistication that Michigan's at. Obviously, you have to have all the electronic resources to do that. And all groups were doing that. And I just think that's fascinating. And when you're dealing with that much attention to detail, then good things are going to happen.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And just the confidence that you can inspire in a short amount of time. It's not like a new guy coming in. Like we said, they knew him. They saw him in action last year. But then to take the reins and you're the guy calling and working hands-on with these guys all the time, and to have the level of excitement that not only J.J. McCarthy expressed, but even the guys that are maybe – number three, number four, number five on the roster saying the same things. This is our guy. And so I think that is nothing but good for Michigan at this point. You know, Jim Harbaugh is going to have his hands in the quarterback pot and, you know, jump in to show what he thinks about certain things and how he wants certain things done. But to have somebody that you know that the guys are excited about, and that can do nothing but help. You've got both levels. Harbaugh having been to the NFL and played for a long, long time there. That's what these guys want to do, obviously. So you're selling it at both levels. I want to turn over to something that we talked about last week, but we talked about On3's position group rankings. And there was one that we didn't get to, and it was the big one. That would be Michigan number one among all running back groups in the country. And we've talked an awful lot about Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards. I mean, that's kind of got to be the worst nightmare for some defenses, seeing the fact that those two guys are having this offseason, you know, didn't do very much in spring ball, but they're healing up and getting ready for a season where they can combine to be maybe live up to what On3 projected best running back group in the country.
Yeah. And it's going to be, this is the most intriguing thing that I'm looking for once the season starts, in particular, again, in the non-conference play, when you have an opportunity to experiment with things without the game, you know, being, you know, white knuckle treatment all the way down to the end of the game typically, but it's how they can utilize Donovan Edwards and Blake Corum on the field at the same time. And, you know, as opposed to an alternative thing where they get, you know, 20 carries and it's one or the other, Tumunga Biakabatuka, Tyrone Wheatley kind of thing. Not that, right. You know, but maybe going way back, I mean, the Billy Taylor, Glenn Doughty thing where they took the starting running back, Billy Taylor up, you know, superseded him, and Glenn Doughty was all of a sudden a wing back running counter plays. You got to get your best athletes on the field and you got to get them touches. So, I mean, the game's way different now than it was, you know, 40, 50 years ago. But I think it's a good illustration of the challenge of just getting your playmakers out there with the ability to make plays. And these guys are just terrific athletes. I mean, Donovan Edwards could be an All-American receiver if he focused on that. And with just the way how sophisticated offenses have become, it's kind of the new gadget lab right now is offenses in intercollegiate football. And get him out in space. I don't know where you place him, but there's got to be scenarios where you put them both on the field at the same time. But think of the threat that a defense would have to focus upon when both Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards are on the field at the same time with J.J. McCarthy behind center. Let alone all the other tools in the toolbox at wide out and tight end with an offensive line as good as they are protecting. That's pretty potent stuff right there, JB.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And the thing about it is Donovan Edwards, everybody talks about his versatility. I think that Blake Corum has his own ability to move around and do some different things. I could see him certainly slipping into a slot situation or catching the football out of the backfield or doing some of those same things and have those guys be almost interchangeable in their ability to move out and show people different looks and do all this. I mean, you talk to Jamie Morris is one of those classic Michigan running backs that says he's adamant. These guys have to be on the field.
I agree.
Together 80-90% of the time.
Well, how do you do that? I'm going to throw the question at you. I mean, when you have a single setback kind of scenario, typically in college football, with your four wide, I mean, how do you do that? I mean, do you put him in a slot, JB? What would be your secret sauce of utilizing both at the same time? I'm interested to see what you think about that.
Well, I would. That would be my number one move is put him in the slot. And that, you know, if they can go two back and swing one or the other out to catch a pass out of the backfield, there are different ways to approach this thing. But I just think different levels of creativity in different situations. I could see a backfield of maybe Alex Orji somewhere inside the red zone with those two on the field, and you know, come together and you get the ball.
Yeah. Well, think about when you're going back, and we're all going back into the highlights. Of the 2022 campaign, right? In the Ohio State game with Donovan and just the stride. I mean, I just saw the Preakness this past weekend and the Kentucky Derby 2 weeks prior to that. And Donovan Edwards has a thoroughbred racehorse kind of stride. I mean, it's out, it stretches. And so you say to yourself, my gotta have my tailback, you know? And so you threw that little nugget about Blake, you know, put Blake in a, you know, in kind of gadget situations. The other element is what's wrong with also keeping them fresh, right? You know, and not where, you know, Blake Corum's getting 28 to 31 carries a game where the wear and tear does have residual effect. I mean, and that maybe that had part to do with in the Illinois game. You just don't know. Limits the chances of injury, fewer snaps, and they're still going to have, quality minutes and have huge relevancy on this offense. I get that. But, man, I this is a good problem to have, an absolute problem. It's going to be intriguing as hell, especially in big games. When they get into the big games, I know we're going to talk about the Penn State game later in our Wolverine Live here, but just super excited and trying to figure out and anticipate what they're going to do to utilize these two great athletes.
Well, the other thing about it is you have these two guys that are demanding so many carries and so much attention because they are so accomplished that when you get the third guy in there, you get that fourth guy in there, imagine how hungry they are going to be to know what they can do. And you've got guys that were around last year and you've got guys that showed out some in spring ball. So that I think that's going to be in itself interesting to watch because these other guys have more time. They've got all the time in the world between now and say next season to develop behind two of the best backs in the country.
Yeah.
And yet they are going to get shots and they are going to have chances when either only one of those guys is on the field or maybe neither one is to get breaks. And we know, you know, you don't even want to talk about it really, but Fred Jackson always used to say, give me as many good backs as I can get going into a big 10.
Oh yeah. You want a stable back there and you want depth. And I mean, and you know, those two guys and the two freshmen coming in know that, the two guys that are the two standouts are going to be gone after this year. I mean, they're moving on. Let's be real. I mean, I would be shocked if Donovan didn't move on and Blake obviously is going to move on. And, I'm knocking on wood, just stay healthy and fine. And these are great kids. These are great leaders. Blake Corum coming back after Jim Harbaugh, you know, encouraged him to leave I know we got NIL, there's NIL ingredients and all that stuff, but he got his degree a few weeks ago. I mean, this is a great story. This is a great leadership in the making among a ton of leaders. I heard on the podcast yesterday, the guys were talking about who the hell is going to be the captain. Well, Blake's got to be one of them. Okay. So, I mean, how many captains are you going to have? You might as well have four or five of them, because there's so many leaders on this team and no greater leader than Blake Corum.
Oh, buddy, I'm telling you, you talk about Blake Corum, you talk about J.J. McCarthy emerging as a leader, and a lot of people say this has got to be his team. As much as Blake Corum is really the man back there, that J.J. McCarthy also has to really take the reins and be the guy, because he's handling the ball on every single snap. You talk about guys over on the other side of the football, like Chris Jenkins, who I just got done doing a story on.
That's another captain potential.
Oh man, does he have captain potential? Wait till you, Tom. I'm not going to give anything away, but definitely read the Chris Jenkins story in the football preview, because if you think he has energy now, if you think he's fired up now, read about some of the things from when he was a little kid, and you are going to see this is not a recent development. I'll just leave it at that, but it was very fun talking to his mom and reliving some of the things that he did as a young man.
Good bloodlines there too. That helps.
Oh, no doubt about it. Dad played 10 years in the NFL. Absolutely. So Blake Corum, getting back to him for a minute, he happens to be the top guy on the top achieving team on another On3 list that came out. That would be your top 100 players in the nation. And Michigan, along with Georgia and Ohio State, were the top placers in terms of the most guys. They each got seven guys, those three teams. I'm going to read them off to you and just have you react to this a little bit. Blake Corum, Michigan's number one, number 14 overall, the senior running back. Will Johnson, number two among the Wolverines, number 35 on the On3 list. The aforementioned Chris Jenkins, number 46 among all players nationally. Number 48, Zach Zinter. And he's the obviously the senior right guard that has done so much, opened a couple of major holes for Donovan Edwards down at Columbus that nobody will ever forget. Number 70, junior quarterback J.J. McCarthy. We've talked about him. We know what he can do and how he's going to look to take charge. Number 79, also the aforementioned running back Donovan Edwards. And number 84, who we're going to talk about a little in a few minutes, junior safety Rod Moore, who is another one of those defensive guys that I think a lot more people will know a whole lot more about by the end of this season. So there you go. I mean, there's your seven guys. That's pretty good to be among the only three teams in the nation. Get three guys or get seven guys in the top 100, and Michigan's right there. Another testament to the kind of talent Jim Harbaugh is going to put on the field this year.
Yeah, it's all about recruiting. You know, it's like I often quote that Kirby Smart thing. You know, what's coaching? Coaching is 50% recruiting, 25% evaluation, and 25% coaching. Okay, so you got to get the play. You know, the two-thirds or three-quarters of that is about personnel, right? And you got to get evaluating personnel after you get them. And the main thing is, half your job as a head coach is to get them there and hire the right assistants, recruiting coordinators and such to get him there. And Michigan has really ramped up, JB. I mean, when you think about what it was a few years ago versus now, there, you just mentioned the other two schools. It's Georgia and Ohio State. Obviously, Alabama's in the mix too. So you got to get good players in this recruiting class in 24 that's coming up. Outstanding. So I love that term, the rich keep getting richer, and let Michigan be part of that rich list of programs of getting high-level personnel.
Yeah, and bear in mind, it wasn't that long ago when Michigan fans were saying, will this team ever beat Ohio State again?
Yeah.
Just think of the enormity of those two wins and what they have done for this program to reestablish it, not only as a perennial Big Ten contender, someone that can stand toe-to-toe with Ohio State again, but also as a national contender.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is a big year, you know, to see what level of contender they're going to be. Are they, you know, it's going to be, it's a challenging year. We're going to be talking about it every week. We're talking about the rest of this, of today's telecast, and the pressure's on and the expectation is super high. And we're adding to that expectation, you know, getting everybody excited here on 3 every week, but that's just reality. So now the big test will be, what can they deliver? Can they beat Ohio State a third time? Can they beat Penn State on the road, you know, on November 11th, which is going to be a huge game, and all the other challenges and the trap games that are lingering out there in that 23 schedule.
Yep, there's no doubt about it. Can they deliver? We know one of our sponsors can deliver and does regularly. We're going to take a little break and give a shout-out to them, the sponsor of our Tuesday night recruiting show and a longtime partner of the Wolverine. That would be, of course, Lewis Jewelers. Simple question, guys. Is your daughter's engagement ring bigger than that of your wife? If the answer is yes, great news. Lewis Jewelers can help. It's stress-free and easy working with that one of their non-commissioned expert trusted advisors finding that perfect diamond. So stop by today, guys, and fix the family issue. Lewis Jewelers, your diamond store and so much more since 1921. Visit them at their new location, 300 South Maple Road, Ann Arbor, or online at lewisjewelers.com. That's L-E-W-I-S. JEWELERS.com. That's Lewis Jewelers, where Ann Arbor gets engaged. And we have been engaged in heavy Michigan football discussion. We remain so. The aforementioned Rod Moore got engaged in the numeral changing business of late. You think of him as the quarterback on defense anyway back there at that safety position, and now all of a sudden he's got the same number as the quarterback. I guess that eliminates JJ McCarthy from playing any defense and Rod Morris from the offense. But talk a little bit about this guy and in a switch maybe late in his career, he gave a little bit of a heads up that you know, this could be potentially his last year in a Michigan uniform.
Yeah, the number thing always cracks me up, you know, and I know single digits, everybody, you know, and I ran a youth football program here in East Lansing for 10 years. I know everybody wants single digits. It's you know, your best players are, your playmakers are typically in the single digits. But I kind of like that Rod Moore had that kind of that awkward number, 19. You know what I mean? It's not the most popular number. I mean, I think of 19, I think of Johnny Unitas. I mean, it's like, but you know, and Rod Moore was making that number 19. I mean, now when I saw 19 out there, I'm going to have to readjust now and look for number 9 out there instead. But that's, you know, that's tongue in cheek. I think, you know, whatever makes him feel good, you know, feel better about the, you know, feeling the vibe, let it be. And boy, that guy certainly deserves to pick his number, because he's been one terrific player here entering his third year, John. And I said last week, he's my projection for the top player on this entire defense, a defense filled with a lot of great players.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, he's set to have a year. He has plenty of talent around him. Certainly, but everybody you talk to, quarterback on the field, this is a guy who is a real leader out there, you know, coach on the field in some respects, because he is so smart and so savvy in what he does. So Rod Moore, number 9 in your scorebook, your roster,
number 1.
Number 1 in your heart, maybe. Yeah. Number one in Michigan interceptions last year and could be again. We will be watching for that. Excuse me. One more list that we're going to tap into because it's that type of year for a list, that time of year. Jim Harbaugh shows up as number five on the Power Five in coaching list by CBS Sports. Is that fair? Is that too low? Is that too high? I mean, it's so subjective and it changes according to year. But in Tom Crawford's estimation, the same Tom Crawford that, along with a lot of other people, was concerned about Jim Harbaugh, whether he'd stay, whether he'd go. What do you think these days?
Oh, I think that's about right. I mean, it depends. And when you evaluate your top five coach, are you basing that off a five-year spectrum, you know, two-year, three-year, whatever? I mean, currently right now, I mean, I think he's a top five coach for what he's done. And you know what I like about Jim Harbaugh, what he is, some of the best things I like what he recognized he had to – he always talks about improvement day, be better tomorrow than you were today, be better the next day than you are tomorrow and all that stuff. And that's – I hang on all that stuff. I really like that. Okay. He needed to do that after the 2020 season for himself. And he's been a better coach. The culture has changed in a very positive way. Everything's ramped up. His coaching hires have been off the scale. This staff right now, arguably the best staff in Michigan football history. When you talk about the backgrounds of these guys and the potential moving forward and the marketability and everybody wants and the two coordinators, a whole bit. So yeah, I think so. But the biggest challenge, what's going to take him up from five to get him up into a higher level is you're going to have to win a playoff game. I mean, this postseason record has got to, you know, these opportunities he's got to cash in on. I mean, he's won one bowl game now in his career at Michigan, going back to 2015. He won his first one, then it's all been losses in the postseason since that time. And I know that the last two of, you know, last year they almost pulled it out, but they should have won that game. And then Georgia, he was out, man. But I mean, there were some bowl games prior to that. So do something in the postseason. Yeah, the natty is what everybody wants for Michigan. We all want it. But I think, you know, get that CFP semifinal game. Get that in the Rose Bowl. Win the Rose Bowl. If they win, go to the CFP, likely the Rose Bowl. The other one is the Sugar Bowl, right, is the other one. So, and then Houston is a national championship game. So, do better in the postseason, and you're going to be king for a day.
Yeah, there's no question about it. I agree 100% with you. You have to think of the fact that they played pretty good teams in the postseason these last 2 years, but they've been a pretty good team themselves. So that's the logical next step, and that's what, if you talk to any guy on this football roster, they'll tell you the same thing. I mean, I've had guys tell me that this is national championship or bust. Win the next game, got to win in the all of that. They are hugely aware of it. So we will keep an eye on, obviously, Jim Harbaugh's fortunes. His star continues to rise in some ways. And as you said, that next step is staring him squarely in the face. I mean, it's a little bit of echoes of his old coach and getting off to a rocky start in postseason play. So, Tom, we've got another guest coming on here shortly, but before we jump into any of that, I want to pick your brain and see what's going on in terms of what you're thinking about with Michigan football these days, or Michigan basketball, athletic, period.
Well, a couple things. One's in football and then one's in basketball. And first for football, I'll try to make this as concise as possible. I mean, we've been talking about leadership and preparation, attention to detail and all this stuff between the lines, but the Shemmy Schembechler hire and fire in that 4-day span was another embarrassment that needs they need to clean this vetting process up. I don't know how the heck this happened. That and I'm not a Twitter guy, particularly looking at especially not looking at political type things. And his liking certain tweets, obviously, when it dealt with the Jim Crow laws and things of that nature, terrible. And Black Lives Matter, I mean, he had to be dismissed. But I just don't understand how that vetting process went, did not happen. Evidently they say it did. So what, I guess, well, we might not ever find out the answer, but I mean, were they okay with it? Then they weren't okay with it, or did it slip through the cracks? I know a lot of people in HR, before they even interview anybody, they go through their social media platform. So that was unfortunate. And I hope some of these off the field hiccups that have transpired in the last year or two, those will start to go away. And we can just talk about between the lines, because it's kind of fatiguing. That's one thing. Did you have a comment about that? And I'll get on to my other thing.
Well, other than the fact that I have known Shemi Shembeckler for a long, long time, and it is very unfortunate that we had this situation. You have to, if you're Michigan, you've got to take care of it, and they did. So you just move on. But I understand what you're saying about the vetting process. You don't want to put yourself in a position, especially these days, where you are under that kind of fire, because there's so much more out there. Yeah. I have zero doubt that, and I'm not excusing anything, but back when we were watching Bo Schembechler coach football, there was no social media. There was only what would appear in the paper after the game. And so it is a very different era. Everybody has to be more aware. If you're out there on social media, what you're saying, what you're liking, all of that. So
yeah.
It is a great lesson, I would say, for every single guy on this team, absolutely, every single coach on this team. They've had a couple of things here of late that just serve as a reminder. Hey guys, somebody's watching.
Yeah. Exactly. Hey, I would, when this internet thing came out, and, I'll never forget, my CEO said, just remember what you were telling our staff, the internet is written in ink, okay? Mm-hmm. It never goes, stuff never goes away. It'll come back. So lessons learned, I agree with you. The other thing I know we're short of time, was the basketball thing. I'm a little worried, we're almost at Memorial Day, and there's three scholarships still still hanging out there. This Olivier Kamwa, the kid from the Tennessee, I guess he's going to visit Michigan. I learned on June 2nd or whatever. And Juwan Howard's got his work cut out for him. This basketball team, John, could be an absolute, maybe I'm overstating, but it could be a train wreck when you got that, when you got 10 role players right now, and you don't have any, you need some alpha dogs on there at a variety of positions. And I'm not saying they're all role players, but they're predominantly, they're most of their skill sets and experience are at role play level of the 10 scholarship kids. And I don't know how they're in this mess, but I'm concerned. I'm deeply concerned about this basketball team.
I think that's valid concern. I think Michigan basketball fans share your concern. So we're gonna do what we do when we're overly concerned. We're going to shift gears back to football.
There you go.
Because right now we are talking an old friend, Jed Donahue of the PA Sports Network. And he covers Penn State. He is steeped in Michigan history, however. He also knows Ohio State in and out. So he is prepared to talk Big Ten football in a heartbeat. Jed, welcome.
Hi, John. Great to be with you guys. Look, I grew up with the Ohio State Michigan thing. My uncle played for Woody Hayes for 3 years. Okay, so it's part of the DNA, but I've covered Penn State for like 35 years. Go figure, right? They're going to be really good. But I got a funny story. I know we're talking about this tomorrow, John. The Ohio State spring game, you guys have beaten us the last 2 years pretty soundly, right? And Chip Traynham goes 65 yards. I get a text from my buddy in Columbus. He goes, isn't that the same hole Edwards went through twice? So they haven't even fixed that or made adjustments yet. So they're all worried about Traynham. Well, they give him 65 yards. Well, Edwards did the same thing. He hadn't done anything yet to make adjustments to that. So, yeah, we're still on that Michigan thing. Just thought you'd want to know that.
Cover zero, right, Jed?
Cover zero, exactly. God, it was brutal. But you guys were terrific, man. And, you know, can we talk about officiating against the Big Ten in these national championship playoffs? The one call that went against Michigan in that TCU game changed the whole tenor of that game. And how is that in the Ohio State game not a late hit on Marvin Harrison in the end zone? And what's going on with the officials? That call against Michigan and the goal line where they ruled it a touchdown changed the whole thing around. Yeah. It really did.
Totally. I like this guy.
Question.
I agree with everything Jed still says.
Changed the whole thing. You know,
we're still seeing pictures of Roman Wilson with his backside touching planet Earth in the end zone. And
that's rough. I know. Brutal. Tough off season, right?
Talk about – and this is on a lot of people's minds because the team that you cover is one that is getting an absolute ton of attention this year. Everybody talks about the game, the Michigan-Ohio State showdown at the end of the season. But 2 weeks earlier, you're going to have a game out in State College, Pennsylvania against, I would say, potentially a couple of top five teams at that point. I know Penn State has to be
in the top five.
We'll see what happens there. But I mean, tell us a little bit about November 11th and how Penn State fans are getting geared up for that matchup already.
Well, we're waiting to see what the time's going to be, right? I mean, it's probably, is it going to be a primetime game? I don't know, probably a 3:30 game or something. I hope it's not the big noon. Let's let this thing breathe a little bit. But I'm telling you right now, I've covered Penn State every year since 1986. And this is the best returning talent that I've seen come back since 1999. Yeah, I'm dating myself, but that team had LeVar Arrington.
Oh, yeah.
And it had Courtney Brown. They went 1-2 in the draft that following year, right? And they had an unbelievable secondary that year. Rashard Casey was coming into his own at quarterback. And that was a team that got clipped that year. If you remember, Tom Brady of Michigan came back and won that game. Marcus Knight. Right? I can throw some Marcus Knight footage in here and nobody will buy me a drink. They don't like that thing.
Love it.
You know, but that team that team folded at the end. Minnesota hit that field goal. It was weird. But this team, this Abdul Carter, I'm telling you, you guys know linebacking play at Michigan because you've had a lot of great ones. This kid wears the number 11, a new tradition. I think he's good as any linebacker in the country. I think Will Anderson is a prototype, the kid from Alabama that you got to look at. Two great defensive ends in Chop Robinson and Denis Dennis Sutton's a sophomore, going to be really good, All-American candidate. I think they got the best secondary in the conference. I know you guys have a really good one. You got an All-American corner, but they've got Kalen King. It's Michigan guy, Cass Tech. I don't know how they got him out of there, but they did. His twin brother's a linebacker. Yeah. They got Jacobs to come back. It's all about this Drew Aller quarterback, okay? Do they have enough explosion at the wide receiver position to be able to kind of free these running backs and things like that? They're really good, Singleton and Allen. Here's what they did last year. They did a wrinkle after, well, Michigan pounded them, and then, you know, they lost the Ohio State game. Franklin went to the offensive corner to Mike Yurcich. He goes, look, I got three really good tight ends. Get them involved or else. Well, they went to this, what they call a tight end T, and it's a power formation. You guys will appreciate this. Good fullback play, right? Well, this Tyler Warren looks like a Penn State guy. You throw him in the white uniform, he looks like he played for Joe in the 70s, right? But it's a really physical formation that's tough to stop in short yardage. Plus, you got Warren. You've got this Theo Johnson, who's 6'5", runs like the wind. They're a handful, man. I think they're a legitimate top eight. I think they can go to Columbus and menace with Ohio State. I think the Buckeyes have major issues along the offensive line. And I'm not sure if McCord has the arm strength that they've been used to having the last few years to really exploit what the advantage is a wide receiver there. I think the Ohio State offensive line, that could be their downfall, man. And Penn State's offensive line with Fashanu, really good. A long answer to your short question, but get ready. They're good. Really
good. That begs a couple more questions, a couple more short questions. And one of them, Tom and I were talking earlier about how our network on three has picked Michigan as having the best running backs group in the nation. But you alluded to those Penn State guys, and I'm sure there's a few Penn State folks that raise a hand and say, wait, well, you know, not so fast, because these two guys are pretty special themselves.
Well, I think if you're a Penn State, right, you got to show the quorum footage from last year in Ann Arbor, okay? There's the gold standard. There they are, right? Edwards and Corum, go get them. And I think that, you know, the Ohio State tandem, right, with Henderson and Williams are pretty damn good. You know, the Michigan guys are more proven and, you know, that they're a tick better, but the Penn State kids are really special. And for the first time in like forever, guys, we're not talking about an offensive lineup here that's subpar. They're really good and they've got the best left tackle in the country. And Fashanu is going to be a top five pick next year. So, you know, both have great running games. So does Ohio State, but you know, the Michigan offensive line and the Penn State offensive line, I don't think there are too many concerns. They're really good. Ohio State, on the other hand, work in progress.
Yeah. All right. Here's another one for you. You have alluded to Ohio State a couple of times and talked about Penn State having to go in there. Give me, if this is a very early take, but I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. Tougher game at this point in Jed Donahue's mind. Will it be the Buckeyes in their own house or Michigan in Happy Valley?
Ooh, I think Michigan and Happy Valley's a tougher out for the Wolverines.
Mm, wow.
I think it's a real tough out.
That's saying a lot.
Yeah,
I love McCarthy. I love your quarterback. I think he's got a lot of confidence. He's as talented a kid as I've seen at the quarterback position in Michigan in a long while. And you guys have a great quarterback legacy. You got the greatest player ever in NFL history. He's one of your guys, right? But I love this kid. He's got moxie, the running game. You know, can you guys blow people away with a passing game? You know, you tell me. Give me something for my guys here. You know, Bell, I think, was underrated. Do you have, you know, is Johnson back? Do you have that talent there? You always have good tight ends. Do you have that? Come on the road and win up here?
Well, I think they're going to be able to throw the football. Whether or not, I mean, the question is, do they have the guy? And Tom and I have talked about that. Do they have a Braylon Edwards, or do they have a Marquise Walker, or do they have somebody that is going to blow the top off the defense? And I know Calvin Johnson got behind the Ohio State defense last year down in Columbus, and
That doesn't count. Everybody gets behind.
Yeah, I say it's yet to be proven. Tom, you addressed this one as well. Do you think that Michigan's passing game at this point should scare people?
We don't know. We won't know until we see some development out of CJ and Darius Clemens has got it. Somebody's got to step up, because right now at the wide receiver, based on last year, I know Roman Wilson's going to be solid with his breakaway. They're the alpha dog. The guy I talked about, the Mario Manningham, and the, you know, at overtime time, running a drag to win the game. Is that going to happen? I don't see it. I got to see it to believe it. But I want to throw it at Jed, at you on this point. I have Michigan winning all their games except one, and that's against Penn State. I have that as a loss to Penn State. Okay, so with that in mind,
how's the venue?
The venue, and yeah. By the way, I mean, I would be shocked if that'd be in prime time, because the Michigan State and Ohio State game is at night, and they rarely ever put Michigan State and Michigan on TV at the same time, let alone Ohio State and Michigan.
That's right.
It's probably that big noon kickoff you're not looking forward to.
I'm curious
to know, Jed, why is there such a demonstrative difference between the whiteout night game versus the nooner at Penn State. Why is there such discrepancy in how tough it is to win?
You got the tailgating that goes on all day, so that's a well-oiled machine. There's just something about the night atmosphere at Beaver Stadium that, you know, they've been there all day. It's event-oriented. There's just something about it that's one of the great traditions that there is in college football, and it's a gnarly deal, man, when you got to come on the road and win up here, especially when it's under the lights. You've seen it. You know, when you play in the whiteout up here, you got to survive the first 8 minutes, okay? You can't get played off your feet. You can't turn the ball over early and get that crowd all revved up. You got to silence them a little bit. I mean, I think Michigan, in this atmosphere, with that running game, you know, play keep away and, you know, keep that crowd out of it. But I'm telling you, you know, Barkley hit that draw 1 year, and, you know, the Michigan just was played off their feet after that. You got to weather the first 8 minutes. When you do that, you settle in and you're good to go. But you better bring a good offensive line here, and you better bring a pass rush up here to be able to deal with this environment. I don't care whether it's noon, 3:30, or 8 o'clock. Yeah. And when it's going to be a top five matchup or top 10, which it's going to be, that's just going to electrify it even more. I mean, how big is this game? Right, yeah, it's huge.
Yeah. I got another one for you, and this is one that I bow to your knowledge as both Penn State follower in your professional life, and certainly Ohio State, steeped in Ohio State history. You've always been more than fair to Michigan, always been more than complimentary. You got Jim Harbaugh comes in, people say, okay, This guy is going to get it all turned around. And then you thought you were going to have it in 2016. It comes down to, as they say in Michigan, JT was short, but he wasn't short according to the officiating. Okay, well, there you go. There's a man who is willing to be candid. But then you go through these years where it's like, okay, what's happening here? Because you're giving up 56 points and 62 points to Ohio State, and are they ever going to beat this team? The last 2 years, you've had this immense breakthrough. Beat Ohio State decisively, win the Big Ten, make the playoff. Mm-hmm. What's the difference that you see in Michigan from afar these last 2 years?
Well, I think that it's the lines. I mean, you know, when Michigan was really good, and John, you and I have talked on my show all these years, when Michigan is really good, their offensive line, you know, the running game is there. They tell you and dictate tempo with that offensive line. That started with Bo Schembechler. This is a Harbaugh thing. He learned that from Schembechler. When Michigan is dominant up front on defense and they're dominant up front on offense, that's where you're at right now. And last year, they were just more physical and imposed their will in the big games and the biggest one of all. I mean, going into Columbus the way that was last year, down 10-0, and just totally just ran them over. You know, Ohio State didn't make the adjustments, and I thought Ryan Day is coaching a little scared in this game right now. You know, not going 4th and 5 at the 45 of Michigan. I mean, what are you doing? So I think Ryan Day is really good. And I think this whole criticism of Ryan Day is absolutely out of control. It's crazy. And that's the Ohio State fan base. You know, what did Earl Bruce say? Who's your favorite Ohio State coach? Undefeated and dead, right? I mean, they're brutal out there. But it's certainly sparked this rivalry. And it reminds me a little bit about what the 90s were all about. I mean, I was thinking, you know, about coming on with you guys about that 97 game, you know, touchdown Michigan, the great call, right? Woodson on the punt return. But it was guys like Glenn Steele, and Woodson's the best defensive player I've seen in the series. I don't think there's any doubt. You had a Pennsylvania kid, Ty Law from Aliquippa. He's pretty good in the secondary in the 95 game with Biaka Batuka and all of this sort of thing. So my Michigan friends, by the way, love to send that call of the Woodson punt return to my phone. So they just remind me of that. So that's what makes it fun. But when Michigan's really good, and even back to the days when I was going, you know, watching them at Ohio Stadium when Harbaugh was the quarterback there. You go back to Jamie Morris, or you go back to even 75 or 6. It's the offensive and defensive lines. And that's where Michigan not only is back, but that's where they're better than everybody in this conference right now. And it's up to Ohio State, Penn State, and everybody else to get moving and catch up. They're just better up front.
There you go.
Look at the film. Look at the film. It's right there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that is certainly the way Jim
Who's
Harbaugh...
that alpha dog this year? Who's the guy that no one knows about, like that kid from Virginia who is the Outland Trophy winner, who somehow made it to the sixth round of the draft? I'm not sure how in the hell that happened. He should have been gone by at least the third round. Who's the guy this year for you that's like a breakthrough? Did you get the Hinton kid from Stanford out of the portal?
Yes,
he did. His dad was a really good Northwestern kid.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you something. He gets more ink. But watch out for Drake Nugent, also of Stanford, who very well could plug in at that center spot.
And that's a Michigan name, Drake Nugent. I'll pass that along. That sounds like a nightmare.
he is a bulldog in there, and I am told that he is just absolutely relentless. And you put a guy like Zach Zinter, who came back after opening those holes against Ohio State, he's going to be there at right guard again. So, I think
looking forward to that, by the way. Oh, God, he's back. I forgot about him. Oh, no. See what I mean?
Yes, he is. So, well,
no wonder you're ranked third. Good God. That's a good player, man. He was really good. So,
we appreciate you joining us for sure. Tom, you got anything final before we wrap this thing up?
Yeah, I got one quick one. It's a projection, and I'd like your reaction to my projection.
Okay.
I think Michigan loses to Penn State. And then Penn State beats Michigan, Ohio State beats Penn State, and Michigan beats Ohio State. Three-way tie. What happens then?
I think Ohio State's going to have all kinds of problems playing in Wisconsin at night following the Penn State game.
Well, I mean, there's other potholes in the road, but
a lot of that's more than a pothole.
So work with me here a little bit. And answer the question: who gets to go to the Big Ten championship game, and who could potentially be in the CFP as a non Big Ten championship game?
I think we got a chance at two. I think your guys are one of them, and I think Penn State is the other. I think Penn State's one loss is going to be at Ohio State, and I think they will beat Michigan up here. Simply, it's a venue call only. It's not a talent call.
Yeah.
It's just a venue call here. And then you got a three-way tie maybe at the end. But I think Ohio State loses at Michigan, and I think they're going to get clipped at Wisconsin. They'll probably put that thing at night up there. Oh, God, that'll be wrong.
So my question, though, Jed, I don't have your schedule in front of you. Who do you got in non-conference play that would enhance the credibility over let's say, Michigan, whose non-conference play is fairly weak?
Well, Penn State's got West Virginia. They haven't played since 92. West Virginia's not that good. They'll win here in prime time. I think Ohio State at Notre Dame, don't you think? I mean, you guys used to occupy that spot.
Yeah.
The last game of the non-conference, Bo put that game right there for a reason. He wanted to find out what Michigan was all about before they hit the Big Ten. Turned out to be this unbelievable rivalry with Notre Dame. I missed that game. I'm glad Ohio State's playing in it. But, why is Michigan not playing a better non-con? You guys always play somebody big. What happened?
Yeah. 2 years back-to-back of just a group of five, and it had to do with a UCLA cancellation.
Oh, okay. They pulled the plug. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, that's unfortunate. But now we'll see that game. Well,
whoever was involved in that switch or whatever, I don't know. I haven't really heard a straight answer on it.
Who are the protected games for you guys, do you think, of the new schedule with USC and UCLA coming? I'm hearing here it's Ohio State, Michigan State, most likely Rutgers. Whatever.
who are protected? Michigan State and Ohio State are protected games for Michigan.
So who'd be the third one that they'll throw in there? They're going to do a USC, UCLA deal?
USC, given some of the bowl history, you never know.
Yeah.
So, well, anyway, we got to wrap this thing up.
All right, man. I'll talk to you tomorrow, John. You know.
Yeah. Well, thanks for joining us. And
thanks for having me.
join us again next week on Wolverine Live. We will be back, Tom and I, and we're going to bring Jed Donahue back for sure in the fall when it's time to talk Michigan Penn State.
Looking forward to it, guys. Thanks for having me, man.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.